Speak up.
All set.
Oh, it's fine.
So, it is November 24th, 2025, calling the listeners meeting to order at 3:34 to look at new assessing software. And present are Brett Waller, Candy Bernard, Beth Riller, and
Ryan Sylvester.
And we're going to let him start the presentation.
Perfect. Thank you. No, thanks for having me. So this is Catalyst's AP5 CAMA software, Computer Assisted Mass Appraisal software. So, you know, this is your screen. So it's pretty robust, but everything's right in front of you. You know, vision's a bit more compartmentalized. You kind of have to open screen into screen. This allows for a much better workflow. So your top toolbar here is your navigation bar. First thing, you can navigate through years. So we can go back in time. We can even go forward in time. So this is something where right now in Rutland City, what I'm doing is I'm working in a 2028 database where they still have their live 2026 because we're doing a reappraisal for 28. So we're all collecting data. I'm changing cost tables. I'm fixing all their street tables in a future year.
Yep.
Which is awesome, especially when we get into this, well, we're in the six-year cycle, but that allows us, obviously, a lot more flexibility with reappraisal timelines,
yes.
And if you wanted to ever implement a cyclical reappraisal schedule. Patriot, AP5 assigns an account number to every parcel, and in this case, I have Manchester, Vermont's database up.
Yeah.
Their parcel ID, unfortunately, is not like yours, what it's supposed to be, a map, block, and lot number. They just use four-digit PINs as their parcel IDs. So, but this is where your parcel ID would go. So, and then over here is where your span. So you can just highlight the last five and go through by span very easily right on your navigation. By owner, you can do partial, so Smith. And it pulls up every Smith in the database.
Just
pick a random one.
Yes,
because so many people call and they're like, well, I own property here, but I don't know where it is. I don't have any identifying numbers. Like literally. Well, what's your name? What's the trust maybe in? Let's get a part of the name maybe, you know, where we're trying to go. So it just makes it a lot easier. It's very easy for me to pick up the phone and work with this while I'm on the phone with the taxpayer. Other CAMA software, you kind of have to put them on hold and be like, all right, let me generate this and get back to you. Where when you get used to this, you can generate anything in real time and just give me an email, I'll get it to you. The next bar down is your action bar. Your action bar needs to be utilized to do anything, right? And the action bar is going to do different things depending on what tab you're in. Right now we're in the account detail tab. This is like your home screen. If I want it, so, and I'm going to set this up so everything starts in land. So from my, we kind of call it our Rolodex. Here are all of our, and now we pop up a tab. So now you have a working land tab, and I'm going to pin that. Actually, I'm going to pin the account detail first. So account detail always gets pinned because that's basically your home screen. Land, I'm going to pin that to my tab so that stays up there. I'm always working in that. After land, activity. So our activity tab, our activity module is a running activity of all of every time we visited a property, every time we changed a value. So if I were to hit add while I'm in my activity field, I'm going to add an activity. So let's say we're in a maintenance, so we're between reappraisals, and I'm working assessor, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to put in a status of 2026, but we'll just use 2024. What this allows me to do is filter every change that I made for that year's grand list, and you'll see we're going to add a note. And we're going to say lot line adjust, come on fingers. Adjustment, add to acres.
Mm-hmm.
Up here by result code, I'm just gonna put a 40, a mapping change. So all these result codes are an action that is taken on a property.
Mm-hmm.
So typical, you know, we just went there and left them a notice. We didn't do it. They asked us to leave. They just wanted a card to make an appointment. Maybe we knock on the door and it's during school vacation. You know, and it's like, hey, your parents home? No. All right, you throw a yellow tag and you run. You know, but at least they get some information about who was there, a number to call, so on and so forth. So, but what we want to do is every action that's taken on a property, we want to record it. Your breadcrumbs. This is how you leave a legacy for people that come after you. I say this all the time. That lister's office was here before us. They'll be here after us. So it's not our office. It's the town's office. So we want to work in a way that when it's our time's up, here's a few little hints, but otherwise just start clicking in the date, start clicking, and you're going to see where everything is, and nothing's hidden. So in this case, we're doing a map change. So we got a lot line adjustment for this parcel. We're going to put in our note, lot line adjustment, add 2 acres. We're going to tag it with a 2026 grand list change. Now I can go and everything that has a status of 2026 GL change, I can now run a report that shows me all those notes. There's your change notices. So all your change notices are done while you're doing your annual work. You don't have to go back and say, oh boy, what did we do here? You know, this value was changed back in December of 25. Here I am sitting, you know, May of 26, and we're showing a $55,000 valuation change, and I have no idea why.
Mm.
Everything's, you're doing all your functions at once. I know. I'll keep the heavy hitters for the end. The tissues.
She's a big box of Kleenex.
So we say everything starts in land. This is where your land use codes are inputted. So for all to satisfy statute. So this is where your R1, R2. So we code them a little bit differently.
And then also by putting evaluation to the land as well, right? To the overall value of the property.
Yeah, so that's going to be our neighborhoods. I'll show you that and kind of how we build that. This is to satisfy statute. So these are all your R1, R2, seasonals, your woodland, your miscellaneous land, commercial, non-residential, industrial. Those all get put in the non-homestead column, right? That's how they're to be taxed. So this is how we manage our extract. Depending upon these land use codes and how we set them up, so like business use, rental use of a property, we're able to put a portion of that building value in the non-residential column in the extract. We don't have to do that calculation by hand and then manipulate the billing software. It's going to just be part of our extract. We move all of our values over. So default LUC, and just to kind of show that to you, so our default LUC, this is an R1. We're in an X7, so a high traffic good neighborhood. So it goes X1 through X9 for high traffic, R1 through R9 for your rural, V1 through V9 for your village. If you had downtown, like Rutland City, we have a downtown 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
Lake, if you had any, so at your mountain, basically, most is going to be condos, so there's not a lot of land. We will have a neighborhood for them, but that neighborhood is going to have a building factor built in. So when it comes to condos in neighborhoods, the neighborhood designation for a condo association is going to be a multiplier for a building value because they only have building value. So on your smaller, less amenities, that may be a factor of 0.8, so a 20% reduction to what we're setting all of our condo values at. And in some of your higher end, you know, big time amenities, trail side or trail, and maybe even you have a shuttle set up, that might be a factor of 1.45. We're putting, we're adding 45% to the value of these condo units because of their location, because of their amenities, and that's reflected in the sales. So it allows us to value every condo the same, whether it's a garden style or townhouse. We could say it's an A, it's a C grade or a C plus, you know, for construction, and then we have factors built in for end units, interior units, duplexes, standalones, but then an overall factor for the whole complex as a whole, where we can say, okay, after we've valued it as if all the condos are equal, so we're going to value it as all the condos are the same, but when we get the sales analysis, this complex needs to be bumped up, this complex needs to be bumped down for greater or lack of amenities, and that's it works. It makes condos real easy, other than the interior conversation that we just had, where we're kind of shooting from the hip on interior quality right now with your current zoning. But like I said, in Ludlow, what we finally have just got passed is that any interior improvement greater than $10,000 now needs a permit. Mm-hmm. And we did that specifically for the condos.
We have that. It's less than $10,000, isn't it?
Only if they add square footage.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, because I thought it was anything. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, only if they add square footage and they do have to do state permits.
Oh, that's
bad.
Yeah,
they
have
to do state permits.
They have to do state permits, okay.
At least if you guys got the state permits, then you could at least deduce, okay, something's happened.
Yeah, because on that state permit, they ask you how much the renovation is going to cost. Not to say that everyone's going to tell what it's going to cost, but from that, the state gets a piece. You have to pay the state a percentage of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a way for us to track interior.
It's just the way I was able to get that passed in Ludlow, as I was, and I'll show you the reporting, is I was able to run CLA reports and show the impact that our 1,300 condos had on the CLA for the whole community. So if we pull out all the condos and calculate the CLA, it was like 85. Mm-hmm. You add in the condos and it blows down to 72. Everybody's getting hit with the 72, right? But, and so that's how, and that's where the more condos you have and the less your ability to track the interior, the more effect it has to the rest of your community. So the
tool, we have a ton of condos.
And I know you do. So the tool exists to do it, to quantify the value, but the tracking is, I think you guys can work towards better tracking however you wanted to, but it is really, when you have that many and they're the vast majority of your sales, they have a huge impact to your stats. So I'm not going to get too deep in land, but just to show you like all the neighborhoods we have here, and you can see here are all my condo neighborhoods. So Bornbrook, it's not showing me the modifier here. I'll have to go into, so here I can show you though.
You're the one that typically, only deals with vision. This has to be, and I've played with it, this has to be like, this is night and day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can see my Bornbrook when I pull up the neighborhood table that shows all. So I have to build my neighborhoods here, and then they become available for selection in the land tab. But you can see it's a land factor of 1, but a building factor of 1.35.
And that's that, yeah.
And you can see in Manchester, remember, we're in Manchester, when we say basically all condos are the same. So, and that's at, $120 a square foot per C grade. Mm-hmm. All the condo complexes in Manchester, not only their amenities and their location, should we have to increase those values for everything that's in Manch.
And so I do know Manchester real estate, because I'm a real estate broker by profession. So I know some of these neighborhood descriptions.
Yeah.
I'm taking a guess at what some of those condos are. So when you would hypothetically do our strat, and when it comes to condos, you would say Crown Point or Rising Bear, like these are specific condo associations, so that would be what would be underneath, so we can, I guess, track it by individual search just by that.
Yeah. So all these data points become points which you can filter and run reports on, or just straight up custom queries.
Mm-hmm.
So in the, I'll show you the filter module. You can create a custom query for whatever. You can filter out for whatever data you want, and then show whatever data you want. So that's how I build a lot of my grand list. People want copies of the grand list.
Yep.
So that's how I do that, is I just build it myself.
I also look at it as an appeal process. If we can show or be able to instantly pull a set from, you know, Solstice, which is our, some of our higher end condos up here, and then we just all instantly with one click have all of that, you know, and then even the sub, say just, I'm just at it.
Yeah. And even for an sales analysis, right? So, and again, I, you know, these demos have lasted 90 minutes. I've also done them for like 4 hours. So you're going to tell me when to stop. And I'm going to kind of be throwing mud at the wall, but it's just, there's a lot here. So I'm going to jump into our filter module. So this is where we can filter and do custom reports.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to filter for that neighborhood. So I'm going to go down to properties. Every data point that's in the system, you can select in this list.
Yeah.
And you can filter off of it. So we're going to go to primary neighborhood. And that is equal to, and we get our...
Yeah, to Batten Hill, because that's, you talked by the Batten Hill, that's the community.
Yep, I'm going to say, I want to see Batten Hill, or I also want, you know what, I want to see... Murray Hill. And then what I want to see out of that is I want to see my parcel ID, so I'm going to add that to my list. And I want to see, here, let's get some condo information. So building, condo features. So I want to see... Location. See kitchens, complex. Let's pull that over so we know what we're looking at. So we want to see what they're graded, what they're graded at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want total values, so I'm going to go down here and I want my total values.
Mm-hmm.
So total assessed value I want to see. And well, let's just show you get some. So, but now it's going to query. It's going to show me both of those. It's telling me whether they're interior units and units. I can. They're showing me the grade.
Yeah, I mean, so just a couple things. As like for me as a real estate agent, right? Which at the end of the day, when we're assessing a property for a value in our town, which is supposed to be a current market rate, when I go into a unit. Here, like any unit is like it typically have an additional window, right? And so there's more light. And so that adds when I'm assessing it to talk to a seller where I can get a value for, it's typically more than it is on an interior unit, right? So things along these lines where we can instantly pull up and know this information, that's phenomenal for us and the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To your point, we're not going to be listeners forever. It's the town, but this is good town data to have.
And so, when we look at duplexes and units and standalone, you typically an extra window, but it's those common walls.
Yeah,
right.
Your interior units, you could have four. You could have each sidewall and up. So you're on the third floor of a five-story building.
Right. Yeah. I have a client who is an interior unit in a good location.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old build.
Yep.
And he can't really rent it that well because it's so loud.
Yep.
Yep.
And like people, like the tenants complain on like the write up. So, It adds.
Right.
It,
going up and down the stairs, just walking above.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And so by collecting all of that data and having it, you can then quantify it through your sales analysis and say, okay, I'm showing that interior units, we need to reduce minus 10%. Maybe the end units stay neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it's 3 to 5. Typically, it's like a 5% increase on an end unit. Duplex, we're going to build, it's going to be a 10-15%. Standalone could be even more.
Yeah.
Typically, the standalones, we don't list them as condos. We list them as contemporaries or whatever style home they are, because
mm-hmm.
we want to value it the same way as all the other contemporary homes of that style, other than the fact that this is part of an HOA mm-hmm. and the other one owns land.
Yeah.
And somewhere else.
Right.
So you can do this for mail merges. Oh my God, here's a super easy one. You want to do a mail merge? I can pull all your ad. You can, so here, bump it. This can go right out to Excel. And then you can write letters to people and do mail merges and print them on envelopes, print them on postage.
Doesn't that take you forever right
wherever
now?
Wherever you
oh
want.
Oh my God, yes.
Your butters.
This just saves you hours.
I have to do it into. I put it into an Excel spreadsheet, and then.
But you have to individually put in right now, right? And this will pull
so,
all the data.
Mm-hmm.
So watch. So we're gonna go. We're gonna go formatted owner one, formatted owner two. I'll grab my city, and I'm gonna grab my postal code. And these are a little out of order. State, province, street address one, street address two, and that should. So again, and I would obviously reorder this, but now I have all that building information, but I can also pull this into Excel, and so this is how we do preliminary value notices when we do reappraisal, because I can pull your prior value, your new current value, all the mailing information, and any other building or parcel-specific data that we want to put on that notice. So mostly it's your parcel ID number or span. But you can see if I reorganize this, I have all my owner, I have city, state, address, postal code, and again, this can all go out to Excel, nice and easy.
Wow.
And you can set up your mail merge in Microsoft with it. Put it right out to your desktop, so there's no like intermediary, because this is all cloud-based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's through AppStream, and AppStream makes a direct link from the AWS and the software on the remote server and your desktop. So you can load, so you can see like this system is seeing my entire desktop right now, and I can save this out wherever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then nice and easy, you can get into Excel and you can move it around even more.
So speaking of the AppStream, AWS, being on cloud, you know, one thing that I've been frustrated with, I'm sure we can all agree on, is the lack of communication or if we have issues with Vision currently,
sure.
The response time on getting
yep.
it addressed. So one of our main concerns, I would say, is customer service when it comes to that. What do you do as a company, or are there any maybe even AI tools already built into the cloud service that can help us with some of the issues we have, or and how long does it take to get a person in a response?
Sure.
This is my overall
great question. So anything software related is going to be a ticket up to Catalyst Tax Support. And we'll help facilitate that.
Yep.
Anything Vermont function specific would be us.
Okay.
So if you want to know, hey, how do I do, we have a bunch of rental percent, rental and commercial use, how do we do that? I would show you how to do that. If you clicked on the filter module and it just like didn't come up, it's not working, or some reports aren't working, that's going to be a ticket to the software company, and I can help. But we can help facilitate. So there are some things, so they go, tier 1, 2, and 3 when they do their support.
Yeah.
You want to stay honest to those, because if you have a report that's not working, it might take a few days for them to get back to you. But if you put urgent in the subject line and you don't abuse it, you get contacted that day.
Mm-hmm.
And And so they have a very robust support system, and they they know the clients that put urgent on everything. Like, urgent, I can't, how do I add a street? Well, all right, that's not urgent.
Right.
But urgent, like, my export isn't functioning and I'm 10 days out from tax bills, they're going to fix that that day, or they're going to work, or the next day, they're going to work on it, like, immediately.
And what was it, the company again? Sorry.
It's Catalyst. So Catalyst is the umbrella.
Yep.
They purchase, and this is Patriot Properties, and this is Assess Pro 5 is the version of the software, AP5. So Catalyst also owns Axiomatic, which developed VT Pi. So we have an agreement with Patriot. We're their preferred distributor. So we're the only company in Vermont that can sell the software to municipalities. And when we do reappraisals, we usually bury the upfront cost of the conversion and upfront software cost into the reappraisal. And then the town's only on the hook for the annual support and maintenance contract with Catalyst, which includes their 24/7 support, as well as all the cloud, so all the data.
Mm-hmm.
So putting everything up on the cloud.
So yeah, that's actually a perfect pivot. Can you walk us through costs associated?
Yeah, so I can give you rough.
Yeah, that's rough. And I'll start it with this too, because this is actually my first year as a listener, so I'm new to this, so I apologize if my questions
are
inaccurate, I guess. So what I'm about to ask is more me learning rather than a question per se. But I'm under the perception that it's hard for towns to transfer over to new systems until a town-wide reappraisal happens. So I guess question one, is that accurate? Can it be done without a town-wide reappraisal? What would that look like? I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire, but approximately. And then you would do a whole town-wide, and then what would after town-wide, what would be Stratton's typical yearly contract with you? So I guess there's three buckets to that.
Yeah, sure. So yes, you can do a conversion outside of a reappraisal, but you're living in what we call override.
Yeah.
So all your assessments that are in AP5 are on override values, and any change to those values could be difficult.
Okay.
It'd be until your next reappraisal, until the database is built to basically satisfy any value change. We could do it, but it's just takes a little bit more doing. You live kind of in, it's like kind of like purgatory. It's we can do it, but we're kind of waiting. We're typically in that time when you're an override, you still got to go out and do your job and change and get new construction, but we're going to be a bit more conservative, in our in setting values. We may not have everything built behind the scenes, so the values may be overrides coming in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Once we go through the next reappraisal cycle, then it's like everything's anew. We get rid of override, we rebuild the model.
And how long does it typically take to rebuild the model?
In a reappraisal. Yeah. So biggest thing in reappraisal is data collection.
Yeah.
But to rebuild the model, that's just a typical task in reappraisal.
Mm-hmm.
That even Vision would have to do. Yeah.
And then in the override time period, how long would it take to build that?
So override is basically they load the system with your legal file. Everything would be coming from NEMREC.
Yeah.
We kind of had a conversation earlier that your Vision CAMA software and NEMREC right now are not in sync, because nothing that is inactive in NEMREC is inactive in Vision.
Yeah.
So you can't do an export right now, because you blow up your tax software.
Gotcha.
So right now you're kind of in an override to an extent where you're moving everything over manually. So what you would see here, and these are our value columns. I'm just going to calculate this so you can see. So this is a test database, so I haven't created a 2026.
Yeah.
So you can see prior year 24 and working we're in 25.
Mm-hmm.
This would be your prior year. If we were due, would be 25, it would be an override. Your working year would duplicate that value, but you have the ability to change it. But the ability to change it is in, we'd have to basically like install kind of a default model, basically.
Yeah, and you would build it all off of our grand list from...
Yeah, so the base of the database, your legal file, so that would be your parcel IDs and all in that format, all your SPAN numbers, all your identifiers, your owners. Are your transfers recorded in NEMRIC, or are they recorded in Pro?
No.
They're only recorded in...
The transfers.
So
yes.
They're recorded in NEMRIC?
Yes.
Awesome. So we'll get all your transfers over, which is huge. Because we'll have current ownership, but we want to see those sales, at least going back 3, 4, 5, as far back as we can go.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all your sales will be done in 18.5 and would move over to billing.
Mm-hmm.
But all this data, so this is, I just pulled up our buildings tab. So this is where we quantify all the buildings. So you can see we got a ranch. We got one story, foundation type, wall type, roof type, quality grade, and its modifier, a 28% increase to the 105.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all your interior information. So if I were going to modify this, and so you can see hardwood is a 2% increase to this.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. The C++ is a 28% increase to this. Drywall is a factor of 1.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't... You know, but if we had solid wood plus 2%, so that's where you get all your accent walls, and you can do a percentage of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a primary interior wall and then a secondary, maybe it's wallboard. You can see that's a -2.
Yeah.
So depending on what the material is, so that's how we build in cost. Your interior tab, so depreciation. So depreciation is really described to you like this. Average, average good, dilapidated, excellent, right? And then that comes with a percentage.
Yeah.
So you can, as an observer, as a data collector, you're not on site saying, I have to depreciate this building by 35%, right? You're saying, for when this was built in 1946, this is in good condition. And then that designation goes back to our depreciation tables and sets the depreciation percentage for you. So you can create a real strong consistency that way.
Yeah.
Bathrooms, we can grade them individually from one another. And so you can see
that's really good.
So I could say you have one full bath at average.
You'll see, I'm sure you saw this when you were in Ludlow, you got to make the seasonal second homes, right? 98% or maybe say 95% are second homes, right? And of those second home, within here, you got a big bill in the 1970s, 19 early 80s, and
yep.
then not really much in the 90s, and then another big build in the 2000s, right?
Yep.
So you'll see and you'll get these condominiums up here that were built in the 1970s, and some of them haven't been touched since then, right?
Our original.
Yeah, original. But then you also will have some that are in there that sell at a higher price point. And that's because they've been new kitchen, new bathrooms, and all that kind of stuff. But if you're just looking at it at an overall arching, you'll maybe think you could appraise something for higher than what it actually is worth. Like we had a situation here at the Obertal where they, our last appraiser came in significantly higher. I'm like, I couldn't be able to sell this because nothing's been touched. These
yep.
sold at a higher price because these bathrooms were renovated, this kitchen was renovated, right? So our ability
to reflect that
is huge.
Yep.
And not just to appraise a property correctly, but to not appraise a property incorrectly.
Right.
And create equity.
And yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's we want to create equitable taxation through
fair market assessments.
So basically being able to say, okay, at our base, a kitchen's going in at $25,000. Excellent times 4.
Yeah.
Okay? Fair minus 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So that original 70s kitchen
mm-hmm.
is going to go in as fair.
Yeah.
So it's going to be less 25K.
Yeah.
Same thing with the baths. We put those in at fair average. So we can still value the outside of the location. It might be a really good location with direct trail access.
Right.
But we're, but I can show you now in the Peel, yes, I'm accounting for your pink shag carpet in your bathroom.
Yeah.
I get your bathroom at nothing.
Right,
and
it was built in 1984, and it hasn't been
built.
And that's the other thing I like about this right off the bat, is vision, and I wasn't an expert in vision once again, this is my first year doing this, but this, I can look at someone in the appeal process and tell them exactly where the numbers are coming from and the increase or decrease. In vision, it just kicked up, it just created a number.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
you can have intelligent conversations in appeal, and you can actually affect change and feel good about it. Because now you're in appeal, this is a perfect example. You've got a 1970s interior, everything else around me is beautiful. And so, yeah, of course, my assessment's higher because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Well, now I can have a very rational conversation and say, these are the changes we're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
This is data change now. This isn't subjective.
Yeah.
This is very objective. We had you as if the interior was upgraded. You've shown us it now isn't. Here's the data we're going to change and how it's going to affect your value. You may not like how it affects your value.
Right. It could go up, it could go down, it could stay the same.
Or it could only go down 40,000 and they think it should go down 200,000.
Right.
But the bulk of the value is that you're a slope-side townhouse.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day.
You're
still in that location.
Yeah. You know, so the allocation, you're able to show the taxpayer something tangible and also work with something tangible.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So... in the override, when we're in an override status, and someone doesn't get a grievance notice because nothing changed, but they're in the override status, but they grieve anyways because they know it's grievance time.
Yep.
How do you know what I'm trying to say? How do you do that? Because it's override.
We're living in the upside down. Yeah, no, we're living in, it's I watch the
stream. Yeah, I watch the stream. So I understand.
When we're in override, you're living in the upside down.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You kind of have to, we want to go by industry standard, and I would build a very neutral cost-like model behind everything, and we're in basically, we want to do a reappraisal as quickly as we can justify, but we're kind of in survival mode. We still can do the job, but the data, the cost, we're going to be living really in cost, so to speak more technically. We're going to be living purely in a cost model. It's really, there's no market involved because we haven't accounted for that in this system. It's accounted in your override value from vision.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, we're going to be living purely in cost, and our goal is to maintain equity. So when new house comes up, we can build $1 million new house. But we want to make sure that it's equitable. So if we need to do override, some type of override value to get it there, that's what we have to do. We can do a lump sum. So like here, I can do a lump sum adjustment of any dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just move it plus or minus.
Yeah.
Not best practices. In appeal, I would fall right on the sword and say, I would explain it exactly like that. We've made cost adjustments, but we made this bulk adjustment and explain the situation we're in and say, all right, now we're kind of at the table, right? Like, it's a million bucks. It's not 650. So let's find a happy medium and then say, okay, this is where we're going to live until the reappraisal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're always hesitant to live in override for too long, but it sometimes is a necessity. And I would say, especially in the situation you're in, where if NMREC were to go away, if the PBNR was to say, pull the plug on NMREC tomorrow, you folks would be in a heap of hurt. Because you now only have an export data from Vision that doesn't match your last year's tax bills, and you'd have a lot of manual work to fix that. Whereas if we convert to AP5, we're going to convert from your legal file from NMREC so that the only information that AP5 will have is what was taxed previously, mm-hmm. and then we have to go and build out those closed parcels, which we can do. And like I said, I want to talk to Patriot and their develop their conversion team and say, is there a way we can convert both from Vision and capture all those, capture all the parcels, including the closed, and then do a comparison with what's live in NEMREC and inactivate the ones that should be inactive. In my head, it works. Yeah. In my head. But in the world of development, software development, I gotta definitely have that conversation with them. I don't see why I couldn't, because there it's all this is all SQL statements behind, so they should be able to pull data from anywhere and put it anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's just is gonna have to be a bit more of hand holding on my side with them to make sure that what they know what they're looking at and what needs to go where. So just kind of so in the building, I'll get to the sketch. So sub area is huge. So this is where we can take any base designation and modify a percentage of it. So perfect example is a finished basement. Mm-hmm. Basement at its base is unfinished. I'm going to throw it down in my sub area here. My alternate type is going to be. This is now a full walkout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot
so,
of, yeah.
So finished living area. If it was fully below grade, it would be rec room.
Okay, nice.
Right? So we're going to say it's a full walkout. This is FLA. We're going to say it's 50% finished, 60 because I hit the 6.
Okay.
And then I can grade it. So, hey, if you have a Bennigan's in your basement, we may put in your basement finish at more than your first floor square footage price.
Yeah.
Indoor, outdoor pools, people that have literal restaurants in their
yeah.
in their basement,
mm-hmm.
Wine cellars, wine rooms,
yep.
stuff like that. That is what's always missed. So you're arguing with your fee appraisal. The fee appraiser is going to look at that $1 million basement and put a value of $100,000 on it because they don't care about any finish below grade.
Yeah.
That's not how it's going to sell. That's not how we're going to assess it.
Right. No, yeah, we had, I had a property that had an amazing half walkout. So, like, half of it was below grade, it was all finished, but the other half was walkout. And they, this was for the appraisal, and they put it at 50% of the value. I'm like, this is half the size of the whole home.
Yeah.
Like, and it's livable. And there's a wood-burning fireplace down here, and, like, perfectly nice floors. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and the only reason they're not accounting for that is, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh wait! All the rules were changed with mortgages and fee appraisals in 08. So and that's where right now I've got looped into another more litigation in Ludlow. We had a 15,000 square foot house burned to the ground, and then on this guy's insurance claim, 5,000 square feet of that was his basement. The insurance company is saying they're not paying out to refinish his basement. So guess what? He's bringing it to court.
Yeah.
Course, now I'm getting subpoenaed for discovery because we have all this documentation about what his basement was finished like, and it was a restaurant.
Yeah,
I mean wet bar, multiple service stations. You know, he had a full hood and like you know commercial kitchen, but like a full kitchen in the basement with a full hood and a grill top.
Yeah,
and you know, nuts. You know, single bowling alley type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to court, and I think he's going to win, but it's been like 4 years. He's almost done building a new house, and he's still going to court with the insurance company.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's when people bring us fee appraisals. The first thing we look at, obviously, is the comps. Then I look at the adjustments. And when I can blow apart your adjustments because they make no sense, like, for example, you're making a larger adjustment for a fireplace than a quarter acre of land. So basically saying a fireplace is worth more than a quarter acre. That happened to me in a refinance, and I won the challenge. I'm basically throwing that fee appraisal out. Not only is it a few years old, this was done for a specific reason. Most of them all say this value is for this purpose only.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at it. We can, you know, consider it. I typically will look at their comps. If they have good comps, now I'll look at what I have those comps assessed for if they're in town. But more often than not, bank appraisals versus fair market assessment, they're not going to match. They're going to be low by design. By design, they're going to be low. So we just took an unfinished area that was valued at, what would this be, like $80 a square foot, and now it's very good, superb. We're valued at like $200, $250. Mm-hmm. And then we could also do percent usable. So same thing, so first floor, maybe part of the first floor is unfinished. They just never got around to it. And we're not going to flag this as new construction, because this first floor has been unfinished since the house was built in 85. So we don't need to flag it to have us go back and check it every year, but we can still account for that loss of value, mm-hmm, and make notes about it. So that is a really strong tool. That is definitely how we create equity on the higher end, where you can have two A-plus homes, but there's going to be potentially a $300,000 value difference in the one with the beautiful finished basement and one with an unfinished basement. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're the same.
Is there anything that assumptions that are made for places that you don't get access to?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Always.
This is good, because a lot of, especially on the higher end properties around here, mm-hmm, it's less and less common for us to get access until we have to get access, right? Meaning that they appeal, yep, things along those lines. So I guess, that's a really good point to ask. How do you put, if you're only looking at windows and there's a, how do you?
So, yeah, sure. So first I would say never go up to a window.
Okay.
Never do that. Yeah, don't. We don't need to do that. So there are a lot better tactics.
Never do that.
The only time I would do that is if I was on, like, if I was in an active construction site, so, like, there's workers there, and I wanted to see if the basement was finished or not. That's the only time I might go up and do that. Any other time, just remember, it's 2025, and you're always on camera, and you're always being recorded. That's how you should act on every property, is that you are basically, you got your own satellite on you.
We've been to one place this year, and there's construction workers everywhere. Yeah. And we didn't get really close, but next thing we know, we found out that they thought we were OSHA.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just pulled in and backed out. Thing that we'll get to.
Sure. So these are more of like field practices. So good field. So, but to answer the question, so when you have to make assumptions, we are going to make common assumptions from the exterior. So based on what we're seeing on the outside is how we're going to list the inside.
Yeah.
And if it's really nice on the outside, it's really, really nice on the inside. And if it looks like, it's an 8,000 square foot house, well, that's minimum 5 bedrooms, 6.5 baths.
Yeah.
Okay, like a minimum $100,000, $150,000 kitchen, fireplace flues going in with cathedral reveals. Like, so we value fireplaces for their reveal inside the house. So if you have a fireplace that's in a cathedral and has 20-foot stone wall, we can value that fireplace like $20,000.
Oh, easy.
Whereas your typical fireplace, $600.
Yeah.
Right, literally. So you got that range, right? So we're going to put everything, we're going to tilt the meter all the way to this side, and then say, prove us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way we'll get it corrected, because if we're set outside a $3.5 million house, we value it at $2.8, are they ever going to come and scream and tell us? But if we're at
one person,
they might, but it's going to be rare, and they're going to be proven wrong probably pretty readily.
Yeah.
But if it's, we come in at 3.75 and they know it's worth 3.5, they're going to come in and correct the record.
Yeah.
They're going to let us in. And that's what we want to be. So the most I've ever been off on an interior adjustment is $1 million. Is basically, I had the inside as being to the nines, because that's what the outside was. But the outside was to the nines and the inside was 1970. Pink shag carpet. And I literally, when I changed the date, it was like $895,000 came off. But but that's how much I can put on the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were like, we should have let you in. I was like, we told you what we were going to do.
We're not really here to screw people over.
No.
We're here to make it fair.
And so, but that's the tactic you have to use. Now, if I'm outside a 1960s ranch and it's a little bit overgrown, needs a new roof, has, you know, a siding's kind of falling off, well, we're going to make those same assumptions on the inside.
Right.
So if you're not keeping the water out of your house, I doubt you got a brand new kitchen.
Right.
I doubt your bathrooms are, like, super nice, right. You know.
You're not upgrading anything on the interior.
So if we're fair on the outside, we're going to be fair on the inside, mm-hmm. and maybe 1% of the time we're off is where people actively do like the assessor camouflage, where there are people that, you know, been around the block a few times, and I've dealt with my fair share of taxmen, and I'm not going to paint my house. The outside, I'm going to rip siding off, but inside of my house is really nice. Mm-hmm. I've seen up in the Northeast Kingdom, we did finally went through an appeal, and this house on the outside looked like it was about to fall down. He rebuilt the wall. Like, he reframed the house on the inside. It was like night and day. Outside, this place looked like it was about to fall in, but inside was brand new. Super rare. But there are
those people out there.
There are, where they go extreme lengths. So, sketching. So, everyone kind of has issues with sketching. This is so easy. CAD. Click. Drag, click, drag, click, drag, click, drag, click.
This must be a Christmas morning for you.
Oh, guess what? I was a little bit off, so I can adjust just this.
I was like, that is not a square.
Yep. Guess what? You know what? I was wrong. It's really 40 feet. Know what?
Oh, so you can just keep fixing it.
I can just keep fixing it. So I got a nice angle piece here off of this. So that I can bring it all the way up. It's going to tell me when I'm equal.
Oh, nice.
So our square footages are like spot on. Especially with the high contemporary stuff. So, you know, this doesn't look too plumb to me. So, all right, I'll make some adjustments there. So, again, these are all off of measurements from the field.
Interior, exterior.
Exterior only. So we don't get into every house. So we only measure from the outside on everything. We do size. We make size adjustments for that. But you're always going to get that argument.
We did have somebody argue with us about the thickness of
the wall thickness
of the basement walls.
Yeah, we could talk about that, but sure.
Yeah.
Arcs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
I can pull arcs. So you have a lot of, like, stone deck patios. Mm-hmm. So we do hardscapes. So bluestone patios. So we have patio, which is your brick paver or concrete pad. Not very valuable. And then we have stone deck. And we can value stone decks at
$100,000.
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. And if we're valuing a stone deck at $100,000, it costs $500,000 for them to put it in.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, you're talking about accent, like hardscapes, accent lighting, stone walls, built-in fireplace, sunken fireplace, built-in water features, like stuff. We capture that exterior living space, and we can value it at that level and all the way down to your brick patio paver. So again, equity, right?
Yeah.
So and that's how you build. The more data points you have,
yes.
The better value you can build, the more equity you can create, and the more justification
you have.
You know? So the designations here, so I'm just going to kind of kill this. When you got red lines, you know he doesn't like you, and you can get rid of them pretty easy. To assign designations, so we layer each part of the house like a cake, so top floor down. So we can even, so we're going to put... half story. So I'm going to put half story over first floor, over basement. And, you know, we're going to put cathedral ceiling over first floor, over basement. And then these are over crawl spaces. They have no basement. This is right now as being as a patio, but I can show you that SDK, that stone deck designation, mm-hmm. so I'm going to remove that and enter that. Oh, and you know what? Here, so we're going to do this too.
Apartment above the garage.
Yeah, we can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to make this bigger. I was going to do an enclosed pool area.
Oh,
there.
And do that.
Then invite me over.
So we've had a handful of these, so we just built a pool enclosure.
To that notion of building, I mean, it sounds like you can. So if you start seeing something more and more in your resort towns, right? I'm looking at where you. So like Woodstock, Weston, Manchester, a little bit of Rutland, Ludlow, I think Ludlow, yeah.
Yep.
But these are all, second home, right, properties and destinations. We are definitely the majority of that, right? So if you start seeing something or we start seeing something that starts becoming common in the house, and let's say it is this enclosed pool, which you already have for argument's sake, maybe it's a pickle court, right?
Yeah.
Like, can you add that in to, and we can put an evaluation on that, and you can add it to the software relatively easily.
Yep, and we could go back to Marshall and Swift and basically get a base cost.
Yep.
But everything we do is market-adjusted cost of value, so it has a basis in Marshall and Swift, but then we adjust it for a specific town.
Yeah.
So, yes, exactly.
And I'm not saying that we will need that. I just wanted to get a better idea of the software.
Oh, yeah. So you can see, yes, so no, we can build it however, whatever we need to.
Yeah.
But pretty much, so this model, the Manchester, I've done, it's been improved a few times. So like we got kind of bucketed model. So I got my high-end model, mid-tier, and lower-end community, and that's where we start. So like for this, I would load my Dorset model here and probably adjust it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in Dorset, we've accounted for everything. And I mean, I got.
Oh, I didn't see you there in Dorset, yeah.
So right. I got, $18 million assessments in Dorset.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we pretty much accounted for everything that you may see and have the ability to quantify it one way or the other.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to do something specific here, we could be very well.
No, that's fine. I did not see that you guys did Dorset. If you have Dorset, then you have seen it all. There's some gorgeous, gorgeous properties.
Yeah. No, Dorset, Dorset was a tough turnaround because it had been 27 years since their last reappraisal. The record assessment change I've ever seen, I'm going on 12 years of doing this, old assessment 1.7, 9.2 was the new assessment. Never, no grievance. The guy just tucked his tail and was like, oh, man, I've been getting murder for decades.
Decades.
I drove into this place, and I didn't see it was like we have the ability to put as many cars, so we could have as many buildings in one parcel. So it was like a 7-car parcel. I only had the first one. I pulled in. I thought we missed like a whole subdivision on review. That's this guy's property. It was like his own subdivision. Nothing's permitted. He didn't care. I mean, it literally, his value went from 1.7 to 9.2, and he never even sent us an email.
Yeah.
That, you know what that tells me? Low.
Yeah.
It should have been 10.
Yeah.
Should have been 10.5. We're low.
Wow.
So, but it's that happens. And that's a symptom of, again, going a quarter century without doing this. So you can see I can put in notes, TQS over garage, there's my apartment. I can then quantify that in the building and, elsewhere by adding a second kitchen, adding the bedrooms, bathrooms, so on and so forth. So I'm just going to save that.
And so I know that you do your measurements from outside in, but if you do get access and they allow you to come into a property to look, do you also do interior measurements, or is it strictly outside?
It's strictly outside. I may do interior measurements if I'm unsure if it's a half story or a 3/4 story upstairs.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get these double pitch roofs, and from the outside it looks like it's restricted, but you get up inside, and when you got those double pitch roofs with a high roof pitch, there's a lot more space up there than it looks like from the outside.
Yeah.
So we'll take those types of interior measurements. We'll take interior measurements for loft space, for finish, unfinished, in the basement. Anything that needs to be addressed individually. Mm-hmm. But as far as overall square footage, it's that consistency, right? What we do for one, we want to do for all.
Yeah, yeah.
Where mm-hmm. everyone's square footage is going to run on exterior measurements.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah.
And I have made an adjust. So this is where you'll laugh. I have made an adjustment on square footage for these efficiency homes, these double studded, high efficiency, where their wall thickness is literally 24 inches. But then I go, well, the grade of the house just went from a C+ to a C++. So it'll take away your square footage.
Yeah.
But the value just went up 25 grand because the overall quality of construction, now that I know this, you have 24-inch walls. You can heat this with a candle.
Yeah, yeah.
You have geothermal. We didn't know about that. Geothermal is a big, big. So, you know, we come in on the square footage argument, but now we understand the house better. And, in fact, your value went up.
Yeah.
And most people are kind of like, well, okay, you know, I understand. Because in that situation, I would say, what would your geothermal, what did it cost you? I know you know what it cost you because it scared you. And I can show you exactly how much we're adding to the value of your house for that. And you know damn well on resale, you're going to sell the heck out of this efficiency, you know, characteristic where... Yeah, your oil bill, guess what? Zero, no oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, heat pumps. You have one heat pump.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So outbuild, I mean, we a plethora of outbuildings, any type of outbuilding you can imagine. We can value outbuildings, so at a $250,000, barns,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it looks like a barn, but it's not. It's, you know, it's basically... a house, if you were to turn it into a, if you were just to put the house things in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, outbuildings, that's usually where we get in conversion. It's really where we'll gain a lot of value because, you know, we grade sheds A, B, C, D, you know, all the way and everything like that too.
And then in addition to outbuildings, so rather than just a barn, because those are very common up here for a nice property to have, you know, barn to your point, you know, that's very, very nice. Like, I'll call them party barns or things along those lines, right? But then let's say a guest house, too. You said you have the ability to add in additional.
Yeah.
And then, you know, grade A guest house, right? That you have the ability to do that.
We would value it. So we value an ADU just like it was on its own property.
Okay.
But
yeah.
It's just the difference on how we value the land. If it's two contiguous standalone parcels that we're merging together, we're going to build two improved house height values for that.
Yeah.
But if it's all on one parcel, we just have multiple dwellings and we only have one improved site value because those lot lines aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they correct those, as soon as they put in those meets and bounds and split it up, you get an improved site value on all that. I'm going to adjust the second acre and I may adjust the overall, like, I may adjust the overall base land value. So that example I gave, the 1.2 to the 9 to 9 million. All those buildings run one 400-acre parcel,
yeah.
But they're spread out. So what I did is I actually enhanced the first 10, I think it was like 10 acres, by 50% to account for the utility to all those houses. I had to. And that's what we do is that mass reappraisal satisfies what we statistically we call our inner quartile range, or like the average, and just outside of the average, this works magically. Your outliers is where we have to make individual adjustments to the properties. So like that property, you know, you had 7 ADUs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the land's the same. That first 10 acres is the same as the guy with 10 acres of forest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got 6 septics, you got all these electrical hookups, driveways, all that.
Yeah.
And again, that's probably where I was low.
Because
I didn't push it far enough.
No, but that's good to know. And I'm asking more for the, you know, because there are large parcels up here, you know, vacant, just raw land, you know, one of them I'm currently selling, right?
Yep.
And just thinking of the future tax purpose for the town, like how to evaluate, because, you know, most of the people that are looking to buy are going to be building, like, you know, their playgrounds, you know, multiple different dwellings and all of that. And then also not just at once, they'll probably do it, you know, over time too. So I just... Once again, it seems like at every single turn, this software allows us to add and change very easily.
Yeah. Yes.
And gives us specific percentage of increase and decrease very easily to then be able to show whoever wants to come in and see where, how they got there very easily. And I can say it with educate, you know, articulately, where before I'm like, I don't know what vision does. I don't know if we should have that recorded.
Sometimes, I'm in Plymouth, and Plymouth uses ProValve, and I unfortunately, you can see, I just put in a 2,500 bank barn lock, A grade. You can see we're getting $143,000 assessment on that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's your three-story, you know, barn. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in Plymouth. I'm on my way out of there because I just, it's bad, just bad relationship. I'm doing a reappraisal there for 27, so we'll fix everything, but I just can't do the annual work there because I can't, that's a system I can't work in. So I had to go through appeal last year with it, and that was literally my argument, is that I can't show you how this works because right. I can't decipher it. But I can tell you I'm making lump sum adjustments and I'm agreeing with you and we're coming to an agreement. Mm-hmm. This is now, unfortunately, more of a negotiation than it is practice. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes a position you just have to acknowledge it. But I'll say this, the reason why my relationship with the communities that I work in is so good is because utter transparency.
Yeah.
I hide nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't hide my methods, even what I'm thinking. Like in Plymouth, I'm agreeing with the appellant. Yeah, I can't show you consistency in this town at all. That's why we're doing a reappraisal for 27. We're cleaning the slate. So, but we got to survive between now and then.
Yeah.
And we've got to still do this. So we got to work together. Some people, that works wonderfully. Other people, he goes, aha, I got you. Right. It's like, well, yeah, I guess so. I like just showed you my belly, but like, you know, but yeah, I guess you got me. That doesn't mean your property's worth
right.
zero.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're trying to get here.
But it does sound that we have the ability with number two transfer our data into AP5.
Yeah, no, there is, and I'm going to do a little bit of homework on that. So what I'm doing right now is I'm adding a second building. So I'm going to add a building sequence 2, and you'll see this is going to say building now 1 of 2 up here. Mm-hmm. Well, once I save it. So now I have the ability to go back here, and I'm on card 2, and I can put in a whole new sketch. So I can put in a whole new sketch just like I would.
Yeah.
So you can also just drag rectangles. You can also drag, bay windows. That's what this is.
So. And then I guess too, with the software, if we were to come on, we would have, can't even have like a class, you know, an onboarding and instructional.
Yeah, so we are starting to offer client courses like through us. They're just seminars, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're actually doing our first one on the 8th up in St. Johnsbury, but I'm going to be doing one in January. I might actually reach out to Londonderry mm-hmm. and see if I can rent there. They have a space that we did a working session in for the tax department. Trying to find a localized spot because I'd be pulling like Dorset, Manchester, Springfield, Bennington, Brattle, like everyone from the south, you know, up, and we'll get together and go through a whole day of this.
Yeah,
so not like remote.
No, okay. I wouldn't even offer remote. I, if you know, remote works for where you need it, but as something like this, I wouldn't even offer remote. It wouldn't even be worth it.
No, I think that's good. And this just seems pretty intuitive, but any kind of new software, it just takes time to get used to. So
it's
having a seminar is handy.
It is nice, and that's something that we've definitely, I'll be honest, we've lacked in the past, just based on just time.
Yeah.
We always say we're going to do it, and then before we know it, we're finalizing grand lists,
yeah,
and we're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God, what happened?
But typically a lot of this stuff would be somebody from your company doing most of that work.
Yep, it would be me, Doug.
So it would be the same as what we're doing from here now is we would do like the PTRs.
Yeah, you do all your transfers, address changes, correspondence, so like basic correspondence, but then escalate. So our assessor contracts are heavily remote, just with the nature. Mm-hmm. We're by appointment, and we'll definitely, if we need to be on site, we need to do inspections, we'll set that up by appointment, try to get a few, do more in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing it remote and being on call, we can satisfy most requests within 48 hours. Whereas before, we used to say, well, we'll be there the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. And those days, we come here and sit and nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, so it's far better for us. So basically, the contracts are where we will log in minimum 50 days a year. Mm-hmm. So one day a week, but we shut down over the holidays. No one wants to see us over Christmas and New Year's, so we just shut it down. Oh, yeah, God. But it's on call, so however, whatever's needed, we'll do all your current use, all your part, all your splits, your parcel creation. Current use is easy. The state makes current use out to be far more of a bear than it is. The only thing you need to process current use is your excluded land value. That's it. That's all you get from CAMA is you whatever they're excluding from current use, value it as I'll do it right now.
They do. I mean, you go into the MVT pie and it's like, oh my God, do I have to do these? It seems so.
Do you guys have any other immediate questions that I want to go into executive with? And we can talk about being.
What I do have one other question. What about the actual physical on-site inspections?
Yep. So we would do all your annual new construction checks.
Okay.
So all your permits, anything that's partially finished, we'll go collect all that data. We'll render all those value changes. We can. It's more or less of how much you want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like. Change of appraisal notices, I would definitely want you to handle grievance. I would be available for grievance at the higher level. Basically, I'd be there to consult with you. But when you have a board of listers and a hired assessor, you really want the board of listers because that's the justification. That's your local control.
Yeah.
So you hear grievance, but then you may confer with me and say, hey, what does this mean? What are our bumpers here? Right, what's our realm of reality we should really be in? So, with grievance, you'll hear them, you'll record them, and then you can consult with me afterwards when you're making your decisions. I'll give you my opinion, but your decision's yours, and that's that separation, which I prefer. I prefer to be a contractor for the town of Stratton. But with your local oversight. So the listers become a local oversight board and basically an appeals board for the community. We would do your day-to-day, your value changes, anything that is anything that's more complex. But, you know, your straight-up transfers where it's 2 acres in a house and it's going from Bob to Sally, those are easy. But if it's a subdivision or it's a transfer that is includes a lot line adjustment. They're selling one house, but they got two on the parcel, and I'll do all the splits and all that stuff to make sure that it's all done, you know, correctly, and all the value transfers over. Current use will do all your new construction checks. Anything that's required to file your grand list, basically, is what we'll do. And then your level of involvement is kind of up to you as the board. So we would definitely have that conversation. We'd basically give you a proposal, have that conversation, and then we can add or subtract responsibilities and add or subtract costs, you know, with that.
Okay.
One more thing I do want to show you is just a session edit. So being able to go into a session edit, make changes, and then undo them. So your hypotheticals, hey, I want to put on an addition.
Mm-hmm.
If I build a garage, what's it going to add? If I want to value my excluded land value for current use, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say, okay, this is all, it's example, whatever. They got 58 acres and they are excluding 10. So I'm going to go, I'm in my session edit. I'm going to change it from 50 whatever to 10. I'm going to save it. I'm going to calculate it. I'm going to get my excluded land value as a standalone parcel,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's going from 381 down to 173,400. I put 173,400 into VT Pi, my excluded land value. I can do the rest with addition and subtraction in VT Pi. I'm going to end my session. I'm going to undo my changes, and it's going to put it all back onto the next one.
That's awesome.
Yep. And we've got current use even now. What current use will be is you'll format your excluded land lines below this and code them very specifically. That creates a current use exclusion report, which we're working with development to get the easy button to VT Pi and basically say, you just have to go through and format all your current use landlines correctly, and then press a button and all your excluded values will pump up to VT Pi. So that's what we're, so that's the unique relationship we have with Patriot through my predecessor, Bill. Matt is Bill's son. Matt and I just purchased the company from him. It'll be a year, January 1st. But Bill is a co-founder of Patriot Properties, co-founder of SS Pro. So we have that kind of legacy relationship with them where we have direct lines to development.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't go without its challenges because, remember, we're the whole, for what Catalyst has for the whole state of Vermont is one county in Florida, Mecklenburg County. They service 5 million parcels in one county in Florida. The whole state of Vermont is less than 100,000 parcels. For them.
Yeah.
So we it's in the works, but that stuff for us is still slow. But we at least are pushing them because we see that the real inevitability that this may be the statewide system. So we want to build all that stuff in so that it is very easy. And I'll be very marketable, right? We want it. The easier you make it, the more,
mm-hmm.
the more friendly everyone can use it, the better off everyone gets. Associated parcels. So United States of America. Here's every parcel that's owned by the United States of America. It's right here, right in your face. So as long as the ownership ID matches, it's going to give you every parcel that that owner owns. So you can navigate through their parcels like really easily.
Is there a way to associate parcels that, like, say, one's in a trust and one's in their name?
Yeah, I actually saw that down here. There's an LLC add-on. I saw
you can.
I don't know how often we come across that, but
most of the LLCs that come in, they don't. We never know what their name is.
Mm-hmm. True.
And the LLCs are the ones that tend to be really hard when they go delinquent because
you can go through the Secretary of State and find the principal on the LLC, and even then that might be a shell. But at the end of the day, if they're not paying their taxes, that's not really our problem. That's not the listener's problem. Unless you're the delinquent tax.
LLC.
It was on the prior. So what it see this user ID.
Yeah.
Is anything with this user ID 3468 matches this is going to show up on your associated parcels, and I wouldn't want to associate because technically the title's different, right?
Right. That's true.
So I wouldn't want to associate anything that wasn't exactly the same on the title.
Right.
You know, just to keep it clean.
Yeah.
So I could keep going. I'm trying to think. Status codes. So anything you. So there's just so many ways to bucket parcels so that you can run reports on them. Do your custom queries. There's a whole reports module with bucketed reports for any type of information you want to see. So the one I'll show you is.
Can you do like a comp report?
Yeah, a comp.
Like sales? Can you track?
Yeah. Yes, so yeah, I'll show you that.
Do something endorse it.
Or make sure.
Or whatever.
I could. I just have to change it. But I'll
or
show you.
Or level up is fine.
So current versus previous summary.
Yeah.
This is basically this is your 411. Always an assessed value.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's cool. your 411. So you can right now I got that's how much change I have right now. So and that's just the summary. I could get a detailed report that would show every parcel how and how much they've changed. So and you, all your minuses are going to be on the top because it goes by ratio, and all your additions will be at the bottom. So you just really have to look at the first two pages, the last couple pages,
yeah.
and it will show you every parcel and how much they've changed. And this is one way to keep yourself honest throughout the year. And again, tons of reports. These are all reports. Ownership, mailing information, if you ever wanted to do mailing labels again, but I just showed you how to do mail merges, so you won't need to do that. Comp sales. So let's see if this will work in the test. There is a comp sales module, and I'm going to find Jennifer Lane as a perfect example because these are all super easy vanilla homes. So I'm going to go to comp sales. So this is great for BCA and your grievance process. You can set parameters. So I'm going to just set these parameters real quick. So we only want sales the last 3 years, so we want sales from 4/1/2022 and to today's date.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot. I mean, this is what I had to do just because I had access to my own.
Right, surfing, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a way, easy way like this envisioned to pull that, or is it?
No. No.
So, and then you can, these are all your data points. And you can weigh these. So, like it's saying that building type has to be 100% match. And we don't want that because building type doesn't mean much to us. Construction adjustment needs to be within 20%. Finished area needs to be within 70%. Neighborhood code can be +/-1. So, you could get really granular with this. But if I just go show my user comps. Calculate comp sales. Show my comps. Come on. Oh, you know why? I'm sorry, I gotta calc the whole batch. So batch calc, so I'm about to calculate, I'm about to hit the calculate button to 2,900 accounts all at once. So this is what you do. So you calc the whole file before you do any type of export. Because that's it's gonna if there's any data that you inputted but you didn't refresh the value, that just calculated the whole file and it threw me out an error code or something, whatever. Test databases, we get them, but they always have ghosts. So with this comp sale module, so calculate my comp sales, it should be my parameter. It would give you 6 to your subject. Let me try and define a different.
Even just the
idea that you can pull it.
Yeah, and I'm going to just try one more thing real quick.
Once again, this is for the idea of who comes next as listers, not for
yeah. So what I can do is I know the Dorset one's working, but this actually will give you 6 sale comparisons, and then you can print out an adjustment grid, but all the adjustments are made from values loaded in the system. So they're all consistent. Mm-hmm. So if it's a different in square footage and grade, all those adjustments are going to be specific to the system, and they're going to be consistent. So every adjustment is going to be done the same for every appeal.
Yeah.
So a difference from a fee appraisal, right, where it's like if you get the same fee appraiser to do five appraisals and you try to find any consistency with his adjustments with each five, you're not going to be able to do that. Whereas here I could say the only way the system can make adjustments is based on values that we've loaded into it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all based on, they're all our market adjusted cost adjustments.
Yeah.
Dorset, her Margot and her BCAs, that they love this because it also shows you an indicated value based on all the comps, which is typically higher, and it also gives you a rating of the comparables. How close are they to the subject? It's a rating percentage of 70%, 100, 80%.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, this all goes to what you said, the BCA.
Yes.
And one of the things too, when you were in that and selecting the percentages, is there a way in here to, like, we have a common situation where we have, a property on, in terms of neighborhoods, on one road that mm-hmm. is, and valued at X, but the comps that aren't close to that
yep.
aren't really valued appropriately to be a true comp, and we have to go to neighboring roads to get that comp, and vice versa, the same thing.
This would take, so
you can take that.
I can do my neighborhood code
and just adjust that percentage.
And so if I want only comps within the exact same neighborhood designation as my subject, that would be 100.
Okay.
But up here, you can speak to this. I need to look at
right here.
Give it a certain look. If I'm putting an evaluation on a condo, I obviously look at those paths, right? But if it's a single family home and it's not ski on, ski off, but it's on the mountain, then I'm looking at things, in a 15 minute radius, right?
That's my point.
Yeah, so it's not just a neighborhood, it's, a certain radius. And then, but what I'm trying to pull to towards my comp is like, I'm not going to comp out a brand new build to a house that's the same square footage, but it was built in 1980, right? Yeah.
Right.
And so.
So if you look at all these fields, what you're describing verbally, you can manifest.
As long as it's within this town.
But you got to, within the town you're in. But just remember, the more specific you get, the less comps you're going to populate. So typically, it's everything with this is like a funnel.
Yeah.
Start broad.
Broad and get down,
And then narrow it down. Yeah. So we can do, and this is just a thing that helps facilitate private write-ups. So you still want to do a whole write-up, but then that's just something that facilitates that.
Mm-hmm.
Between that, so it's like a cover letter, the comp sales printout, all your photos,
mm-hmm.
And you just hand that to the BCA, again, something tangible. That's from the Canvas system that's not created elsewhere.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. It goes a long way.
Well,
so,
I got a couple things I wanted to talk to you about outside or in executive session.
Sure.
I think we can do if we all agree. And is there anything else that we need for the program? Do you have any questions?
I do not have any more questions.
All right, so then we can.
Perfect.
Do you make a motion?
Rip Aller makes a motion to. Adjourn our meeting.
To enter into executive session.
Enter into executive session.
It is 5:02. I'll second. Beth Willer seconds. I'm entering into executive session. It is 5:18 p.m. We are exiting from executive session without any decision making occurring. And at this time, this is Beth Liller. I am making a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second. Britt Waller.
And
concur.
And Candy concurs. And so at 5:18 p.m., the meeting is now adjourned.